Prepare yourself. It's Big News Wednesday. Okay, everybody, welcome back to the show. Welcome to another Big News Wednesday with me, John Irrell, and JR Jackson. JR, how's it going?
What's going on? It's crazy. It's a crazy day for me. You guys just saw me on the phone just before I jumped in. It's crazy. I'm resetting my brain right now, but I'm glad I'm here with you guys. Good to see you guys. Everyone that came over from watch list, let's go ahead and make this happen again on a Wednesday.
Hello, list watchers all. Before we get into the news, and we have so much news, this is truly a Big News Wednesday. We got big news, we got fun news, more inside baseball, because I know that's what everyone tunes in for. So in terms of tech issues, first of all, I literally am having to adjust the brightness of the shot every minute. It will suddenly flare like I'm in the middle of a supernova, and then it'll drop down to I'm in like a sequel for Pitch Black. I don't understand why. It's very frustrating. There's a reason people shoot in studios, and I can't maintain that sort of thing here. So, like, literally as the Big News Wednesday bumper was up, I was running to adjust the camera. But anyway. Hey
John, I was ready. I was ready to bring it back and be John for like 10 seconds.
Thank you. Well, actually, you know, it's funny because I got one other tech issue thing. So, you know how, like, when you're on Skype, like, a Skype connection can freeze and then they have to reconnect or something. So that's bad. It's bad anytime it happens. We figured out last night the literal worst time it can happen. So we're about to launch into our election coverage. We go, there's the animation, we come back, Cenk is frozen, literally like during the transition. And I'm like, well, it's his special. He's supposed to lead it. How long am I supposed to wait before saying anything? Because even looking to see if he's frozen means I have to like weirdly look off to the side. After like 5 seconds, I was like, yeah, that's fun. And then I had to like spontaneously intro a special.
Oh.
But anyway, we got him back.
Okay, good. You didn't have to do it.
Yeah, there will be nothing else like that. It will be just perfect, no tech issues today. What we do have for you today is a lot of fun. We're going to be talking about Mike Lindell. It's a weird story. But honestly, the stuff about Mike Lindell isn't even necessarily as interesting as the people commenting on the Mike Lindell thing. Mike Lindell's phone being seized, as we'll get into, has made the right wing go insane. So that's going to be fun. Oh. Along the way, we've got Trump using the Secret Service in a lie. We've got the latest student loan scam. And this is actually a really bad story that needs to be talked about nationally. We got Marjorie Greene deciding that she, in fact, does not want to engage in the culture war, and she is running for the hills. And if you're watching the full show, in the aftermath, we've got these text messages from Brett Favre making him look terrible. And then we've got animal news. So all that and more. Everyone, hit the like button, share the stream if you haven't already. And you can send JR and I messages, tweets, super chats, all that. And we'll respond as we go. But with all that said, JR, are you ready to start the Big News Wednesday show?
Hey, I'm always ready. Stay ready.
Okay, I'm ready. I'm ready right now. Let's jump into it.
Anyway, then he goes, well, I got some bad news. And I go, okay, here it comes, right? He goes, we're taking your cell phone. We have a warrant for your cell phone. I go, no, I said my whole company. I run 5 companies off that. I don't have a computer. My hearing aids run off this. Everything runs off my phone. I said, and then I said, if I don't give it to you, will you arrest me then? And I was just, I'm going, are you kidding me? You're not getting my phone.
Of course, in the same way that Steve Bannon recently saying, you'll have to kill me at every step along the way, they in fact did not need to kill him. And they in fact, in this case, did get his phone. He seemed oddly like desperate to be arrested. He was not in fact arrested, Mike Lindell, notable pillow man. But his phone was seized by the FBI for reasons that we will discuss soon. It did happen apparently at a Hardee's, which I think is the best part of this entire story. And we will return to that in just a moment. But first, here is a little bit more from Mike Lindell about the phone seizure.
Good. No, you should give him the phone. He goes, sir, we have a warrant and arrest, or I mean, for a warrant for his phone. And I go, I'm thinking, well, they'll arrest me if I won't give the phone. But no, if you read this, they would have done everything they could, because they could, you know, the phone was right there. Believe me, they would have got the phone. Okay, you know, with physical force, they would have got the phone. I mean, if so, you know, I had to give up the phone, right?
My God, it's like a Bob Odenkirk sketch up in here. Are we in? I think you should leave. He said you got the phone. You gotta give up the phone. This guy has been hosting a show for 2 years solid. Also, as people are talking about the chat, if everything is run off of your phone, if you don't have a computer, how are you broadcasting to this daily show that you do on Lindell TV? How exactly does that work? And also, for a guy that definitely thinks the vaccine has nanobots in it that are going to control your brain or whatever, why is he offloading so much of his ability to function to one digital device, probably made by either Google or Apple? It's weird that he would comply, that he would willingly allow that tech boot to be pressed on his neck. But anyway, JR, there is other footage. Like, what you just saw was gibberish. I can't play any more for you because it is incomprehensible nonsense. But anyway.
Not the part where he shows the actual piece of paper that he says is from the FBI that took his phone?
Yeah, he's got the thing. I don't know what the point... Whatever. It's just gibberish. The most important thing for you to know, again, is that this happened at a Hardee's, and that was not lost on Hardee's, who tweeted, "Now that you know we exist, you should really try our pillowy biscuits." That's the true My Pillow, a nice pillowy biscuit with some butter. But anyway, JR, we'll get into the little bit of details we know about this, but what do you think?
Mike Lindell. No, he's the gift that keeps on giving. Dude, first of all, I noticed this thing. I thought it was just a Trump thing, but maybe it's a Trump-er thing, a MAGA supporter thing, someone who wants to be like Trump thing. But how many times throughout that story, his recollection of his wording is always, and then I goes, that's like third, fourth grader talk, I feel like, number one. But also, for some reason, FBI agents just keep calling these guys sir. Every sentence he says, and he says, "Sir, I need to get to have my hands on your phone. Sir, I need you to put down the cheeseburger. Sir." No, they didn't say sir every time they talk to you, bro. It's what makes me wonder to what level this story is accurate. Because, of course, he's telling it. He flashes a piece of paper and he says this phone was taken. I guess there's been confirmation. I've seen some other stories talking about confirmation that his phone was actually taken. And everything is on that phone. And he's devastated by that. There was a tweeter yesterday that mentioned it when I tweeted about this. And he said, man, for a bunch of folks who are looking to take over the government, man, they have a horrible approach to their criminal crime syndicate. Like, bro, you got everything on one phone? You've been talking to the president of the United States, who's been hiding classified materials in multiple locations, potentially, and hiding it and keeping it from authorities, the FBI. They come and search his stuff off a warrant and get it. And you have direct connection to this guy you've had in the past. Mike Lindell is one step away from the former president who was hoarding classified materials in a very, very loose way. Yeah. To what direction and what degree is everything on this one phone?
I mean...
One phone.
Here's the amazing thing. Should we go to... Yeah, let's go to this. So they seize his phone. And that is shocking to Mike Lindell. It was shocking to Hardee's. Shocking to Laura Ingraham. Listen to this.
Like, it's almost as if they're seizing phones of anyone who might have communicated with the president or anyone who's close with the president.
Yeah, it's almost like that, because that's what it is, because they're investigating the president. No, but seriously, like, did she just wake up from like an extended nap or something? Yes, they're investigating the coup attempt. Mike Lindell, by the way, is not just an insane pillow-based grifter and all that. He doesn't just produce ridiculous... Like, his election conspiracy documentaries make Dinesh D'Souza look I'm blanking now, Ken Burns or something. But anyway, he's not just that. Remember the big meeting at the White House, I believe in December, before the coup, where they met and they had this big screaming argument about the fake electors and everything? Mike Lindell was at that meeting. Like, he is a total insider. Like, he is a part of this entire thing. And who knows if he has any communications? Hopefully soon the FBI will know, though. And so, yes, they're going to want the phones of the people who are communicating with the guy who did the cooing. That's how this actually works. And interestingly, it's not immediately clear totally exactly why they wanted the phone. And we do believe that they actually did get the phone. Interesting note, by the way, Stephen Miller refused to admit on Laura Ingraham's show 2 days ago whether his phone had been seized. He didn't want to say yes or no. Mike Lindell goes screaming about it being taken. And I said at the time, in regards to Stephen Miller, they're always so desperate to make themselves out to be victims. Why isn't Stephen Miller like trumpeting from the rooftops that his phone was taken? Well, maybe if he actually has something, he doesn't want Trump to know that it was taken, then he wouldn't admit it. Maybe Mike Lindell talking about it means he's innocent or deranged. I don't know. But anyway, right now, we don't know if this is about Mesa County Clerk Tina Peters. Lindell had talked about this in his live streams that it had to do with her case. But anyway, it could well be. Lindell has donated large sums to Tina Peters' legal defense. She's involved in some of this election conspiracy stuff. He claimed on his podcast, The Lindell Report, and I find that to be offensive that he has the word report in it, that agents asked him about his relationship with Peters. Last week, she pleaded not guilty to criminal charges of election tampering and official misconduct. Lindell said agents also asked him, how long have you known Doug Frank, sir, probably? Frank, an Ohio math teacher whose theories about the 2020 presidential election have been debunked several times. So we don't know. It could be about one. It could be about both. It could be about January 6th. Maybe it could be about the fact that he's facing defamation lawsuits from both Smartmatic and Dominion Voting Systems over his insane election conspiracy theories. I don't know. It could be about all of that or more. We're living in crazy times.
The fact that it could be so many different things. I think if someone gets their phone taken and they said everything is on it, and we're like, okay, is it the election fraud? Is it the insurrection at the Capitol? Is it them busting into voting machines? Is this help with this other lady that's been arrested who didn't want to be arrested, as we know that Tina Peters and her issues with that? There's so many different crimes, potential serious crimes this guy could be associated with and what's on his one phone. And we're still not going, hey, this is one of the most serious issues we ever had to deal with when it comes to, from the top, levels of power connected to the most menial idiots that we can find in the world. Now, by the way, Laura Ingraham, because that really made me laugh, she's confused and, came to the revelation. Now, she's no longer confused about how people that are associated with a potential crime can also be investigated. These Republicans have been so far from any kind of consequence, responsibility, or anything when it comes to law enforcement or actually owning up to their potential crimes. You're like, wait a second, you're investigating Donald Trump. What business do you have with Mike Lindell, who was at January 6th, who was also working with Tina Peters, who was also doing four or five different things? It means they're investigating the potential crime. Maybe just watch an episode of The First 48, Law and Order, SVU. You know, I'll even let them settle for Dateline. Just watch anything. They'll let you see how this works.
You clearly didn't watch the latest episode of John Oliver's show, because he did a total breakdown of Law and Order. You should definitely watch that. But anyway, they say that they love actual Law and Order. I don't mean the show, like the idea of Law and Order, but they don't want crimes to be investigated. I'm going to close this segment by asking you a super fast question. This is to both JR as well as the audience. He had his phone seized by the FBI at a Hardee's. If the FBI were to track you down someday, what's the most likely restaurant that you would get caught at, JR?
Restaurant? They're not going to catch me at a restaurant. No, maybe the grocery store. That's what they're going to get me out front of Ralph's. Make sure I'm walking out with all my bags so that I can't run.
Exactly, yeah. I think they'd get me at probably a Jack in the Box, maybe a Cinnabon. That would be the most embarrassing, I think, for me.
Cinnabon, you're going to make me want to have some of those later. It's awesome.
Anyway, with all that said, that's what we know, which admittedly is not much. And now I want to transition to something way more fun. Mike Lindell's phone being seized has caused the right wing to utterly melt down. And I want to submit a tweet as evidence. I came across this and I probably stared at it for a solid hour trying to figure out if it was satire or not. It apparently is not. Here's the tweet by Millie Weaver, a right wing pundit show host. First, they came for Trump. I wasn't Trump, so I didn't do anything. Then they came for Bannon. I wasn't Bannon, so I didn't do anything. Then they came for Mike Lindell. I wasn't the pillow guy, so I didn't do anything. But then they came for me, and there was no one left to defend me. That tweet was apparently sent in all seriousness. It is literally an invocation, if you're not familiar with the style of that, of a famous poem about the Holocaust. But in this case, rather than the trade unionists and stuff, the supposed defender that we should have stood up for is the Pillow Man. And Millie Weaver believes that she is literally in the same place as Jewish people being targeted by the Nazi regime. Because Mike Lindell's phone was taken and then he was able to go back to eating his chicken sandwich or whatever. They're crazy people, Jam. They're legitimately crazy people. The only reason that I am glad that Millie Weaver sent this out is because it's hilarious, but also because it allowed Soulnate to respond with, first they came for Roger Stone and I said, great. Next they came for Alex Jones and I said, good news. Then they came for Donald Trump and I said, this is also excellent.
Yo, you know, I not that this is any kind of way letting her off the hook, but that that lady who started this whole thing, Millie Weaver, I'm willing to bet she doesn't know the origins of that formation of that little,
no,
that little tweet
have
that she
to.
Put out. No, she just knows she's seen it before. And she's probably seen, you know, libs talk about how you want to make sure we're coming after those folks that are coming for regular normal people and are looking to overthrow our entire government. And they went, oh, you know, I'm going to use this for Trump. They have to make everything when it comes to just this one guy, Donald Trump, make him the most important person, a godlike figure in the world. And then now Steve Bannon, I guess that works for him too, when he's going in to turn himself in, he goes, 60 days before the election. Bro, what the hell do you have to do with an election? Are you running? What are we talking about? But it's the self-importance and it sells to so many certain people. I don't think Millie even necessarily believes it. She's just trying to get some self-promotion herself. You know, and nothing is based in reality. It has to be based in some kind of over-the-top rhetoric. And she's just looking to find her own. That's all.
That might be. Look, I'm going to ask the audience. Is it reasonable to assume that she does not know the origin of that? Do you think she knew or she didn't know? Respond in the comments and I want to see. It's madness. Also, by the way, in the way that that's used, generally, it's supposed to be getting scarier step by step. That's how the fascist takeover works. First, they came for Trump. Boy, they started at the top. Now they're just coming for pillow people. I feel like they're kind of relaxing over time, this dictatorship. But again, she doesn't seem to understand how this thing is supposed to work. Anyway, I also saw this. This is a truth, by definition, from Donald Trump. Breaking news, Mike Lindell, the pillow guy. The is in all caps. The pillow guy. There are many pillow guys, but he is the real deal, the authentic pillow man. Was just raided by the FBI. We are now officially living in a weaponized police state, rigged elections and all. Our country's a laughing stock all over the world. The majesty of the United States is gone. Can't let this happen. Take back America.
Which one is it? Hey, is the majesty gone or can we not let it happen? Can we not let what happen? Let the majesty be gone? Because the majesty's gone. It was said the same stupid truth. And also now's the time to take it back. It's gone, bro. Hey, isn't it already escaped? You can't take it back. It's just, I mean, the lid is off. I guess it's just best to go by the old Republican adage. If you don't like it, why don't you go back to where you came from?
Exactly. Yeah. The pillow guy.
The pillow guy. Isn't it my pillow guy? He'd even messed up his own title. I thought it's the my pillow guy.
Put some respect on his name, honestly. Anyway, with that said, we have a little bit more hilarious victim complex. Let's jump into this video.
You can call us whatever you want, Joe. You can call us extremists. You can call us domestic terrorists. You know who else was called a lot of names? His whole life, Jesus. And he never stopped. He never stopped. They called him names right up until his death. So why should we care what Joe Biden thinks of us?
Honestly, I gotta respect it. That's amazing. You know who else was called a lot of names? The Lord and Savior. Okay. I guess, you know who else has been called a lot of names? Me. I've been called Johnny Pie and Dragon Daddy and DJ Lunchbox. And you know who else was called a lot of names? Jesus Christ superstar. So I guess basically I'm Jesus by your definition. No, but JR, that's madness. First of all, if you're not familiar, that was Carrie Lake, who might well be a governor in a few months, saying that because they've called Donald Trump names, he is like Jesus. Now, the fact that they've called Joe Biden just recently a communist and a socialist and a Satanist and all of these things, that does not somehow make Joe Biden Jesus, JR, but for Trump and MAGA, it works.
It makes them all so holy. I was going to point that out. Yeah, what is it? Socialists, communists, groomers, pedophiles.
Wokesters.
Anti-Americans, haters of America, murderers, assassins. They call them everything. The Republican Party has conservatives, pundits, talkers, candidates, anybody have no leg to stand on when it comes to how dare you call me a criminal? I'm just being investigated for 17 to 18 crimes. I don't know what you're talking about. I only admitted to stealing classified documents from the United States and hoarding them in my closet. Yeah, I'm going back to Donald Trump, talking about these names that everyone's being called, and I can't believe that they all equate to Jesus, which let's go to the last leg of irony here. If these idiots are hanging around in Jesus's time when all these things that was prophesied in the Bible that he did, they would hate him too. Mm-hmm. They'd call him anti-rich. How come you're trying to come for the folks who make the economy move? Why are you helping out those whores and those homeless people? What's the matter with you? You're disgusting. Why are you talking to those children, you groomer? What business do you have with them? You don't have any children. This 31-year-old man is talking to my kids. He's talking to these women on the streets. I can't believe he's washing poor people's feet. What a woke tree-hugging loser he is. That's what they 100%. Would call Jesus.
No, you're 100%. He literally, like, it's the most woke thing imaginable is for him to take a sex worker and be like, hey, everybody, could you treat this person with respect? Honestly, like, why are you attacking? Like, it's the most woke thing. They would despise Jesus. I mean, honestly, this is not a hypothetical. They despise Jesus right now. That's why they have constructed this fake version of Jesus. I mean, look, at the end of the day, Jesus is pretty fake. But I'm talking about the stuff from the newest book of their own. They disregard all that. They don't care about any of that stuff about the rich and the poor and the meek and all that. Forget all that stuff. We have a better version of Jesus. We'll go with that one. They hate him now. I have more respect for him, and I just claimed he was totally made up. Anyway, by the way, joke might be on us. You never know. But in Real Clear Politics polling, Carrie Lake is currently tied with her Democratic opponent, Katie Hobbs, at 45.3%. So this is going to be a nail biter no matter what. And this is the woman claiming that her entire side is Jesus. Anyway, with all that said, we're going to jump to our first break, respond to some of your comments. When we come back, one of Donald Trump's recent lies involving the Secret Service has been laid bare, and he now looks terrible as a result. We'll give you the details after this. Okay, with that said, if you are just joining our show a little bit late, don't forget to hit the like button if you haven't already. And with that, why don't we jump into some news? According to two different sources, Donald Trump was so desperate to get out of actually having to go and sit down with Letitia James that he lied to a judge about security concerns, and he used the Secret Service as a shield. And that lie has now been, it's blown up in his face. So let's have a little bit of fun. So this is referencing something we talked about earlier. Back on August 10th, he was deposed in the New York. There's a lot of investigations of him right now. This is the New York-based one. So Trump's legal team, in advance of it, asked that the interview at the AG's office be relocated to a more comfortable, convenient spot, Trump Tower. In correspondence that was filed in secret, by the way, and that's an important part of this, Trump's legal team notified state investigators that the Secret Service was opposed to transporting him to the AG's office in Manhattan's financial district. The letter cited some sort of safety concern related to having the former president at the 60-story skyscraper at 28 Liberty Street, which is located just across the street from a Trump-owned building. So somehow, that's basically a war zone. I think a Morton Joe rules there, and oh, it's right across the street from one of my properties. So you can already start to get the idea that there wasn't much substance to this. And interestingly, the court filings regarding this were never accompanied with any like official documentation, no messages from the Secret Service, almost as if it was BS, because it was. Reached on Tuesday, the Secret Service was caught by surprise by the allegations and had not been made aware of any perceived security threat or any court filings detailing them. So he lied about the Secret Service. He didn't even inform the Secret Service, which is probably a wise thing for him. He finally did a little bit of work to cover up one of his crimes. And anyway, it didn't work. He did have to go and sit down with Letitia James. Notably, he didn't participate. He refused to answer questions. He pled the fifth hundreds of times. And that was widely seen as strengthening the case against him. But, you know, again, this is just what? Example 37 of the party supposedly that backs the blue, loves law enforcement, law and order. Secret Service, screw them. I'll use them as a lie to cover up the fact that I don't want to sit in that office. And I won't even tell them about it, JR. Oh, JR, you're muted.
It's because my AC is on. It's crazy that everything they say they're doing, that their political opponents are doing, that they're against law and order, that they use their positions of power, they use all levers of government just to deceive you, to take your money, and then to ruin our country. It's almost like they're doing all those things. The Secret Service, Donald Trump believes, is his own personal police force that he can use to lie about whether or not he can go to then a legal proceeding about things that he's potentially been up to and investigations with law enforcement officials and people that are actually investigating your nefarious activities. But he can use them like his own personal get out of jail free card, if you would. Remember these talking about the Department of Justice as well? And Biden is weaponizing the Department of Justice to go after his political opponents. When we find out that Donald Trump weaponized the Department of Justice to go after his political opponents, and many times, specifically off of his effing tweets. They followed his tweets.
Yep.
But everyone else is the problem.
Yeah, and somehow, apparently, lying about the Secret Service isn't illegal, I guess. Like, lying about a fake security threat is totally legal. You can just do that in actual court filings. Again, just add this to the massive pile of things that Trump can do that you would definitely be in jail for right now if you tried to do it. So very fun the way that that works out. Now, why? Why do all of this? Why go to all of this trouble knowing that it could potentially blow up in your face? Now, of course, he knows that his side isn't going to care. But imagine if Joe Biden or Hunter Biden did this or whatever. Like, how enraged they would be. But whatever, they don't care. So why? Well, we have a few theories. So one is from a former Trump Organization construction executive. He said, Barbara Rez, she said, he'd be sitting behind the big desk where he has the authority. That's the only thing I can think of. It's his desk with chairs all around. It puts him at a very superior position. Winston Wolkoff wrote the book Melania and Me, said that AG investigators would have found themselves surrounded by Time magazine covers with Trump's face and all kinds of keepsakes on every wall of the floor, the inner sanctum of Trump's shrine to himself. It's the newspapers and memorabilia, his photographs, things of him in his office. Even his small conference room is stacked with stuff of him. It's Hoardersville. And then you can see this picture of an absolutely massive desk covered with papers that he is seriously working on. He's doing a lot of work that involves a pen and writing on the paper. And it's very important stuff. Super, super serious. I don't know what the trophy's for. Probably an athletic endeavor, JR. I don't know.
I didn't even notice the trophy in the corner because it's just, he had that made for himself to put on his desk corner. Is that a golf magazine? Met Golf? Golfer. Something Golfer is on his desk is where at the top right.
Are those pictures of golf courses?
I think so. And there's a picture of himself firing someone on The Apprentice. Jesus, God, this is the work that Donald Trump needs to get done. And it's also, is this the intimidating office that he wanted Letitia James and her team to come into to talk to him? Because I would happily walk into that office with all the information that they potentially have on him and Trump Organization and be like, yeah, so what's this trophy for? Is it the trophy you got when you defrauded all those people? Is it the trophy you got when you were taking money? Is it from Trump University? I'm not sure because there's so many things we want to talk to you about.
Yep.
I guess we can sift through all these documents and figure it out, Donnie. This is a position of power? I wouldn't be intimidated by this office at all.
No.
Like, no, this guy doesn't have anything together.
And by the way, we don't know for sure that that is why he wanted to do it, although that seems plausible to me. But the idea that you would think that that would be intimidating, just the messiest, clutter-filled desk with pictures of lawns or whatever, it's like, you know what? If they ever come for me over my dead body, they got to come in here, in my inner sanctum, and they need to just be, like, in awe of my, like, maps of Game of Thrones and the Wheel of Time and maybe some fantasy miniatures I'm painting. You know, real intimidation type stuff. Like, I would sit down at the desk and look around and be like, oh my God, this guy's got nothing. I am going to roll him right now. It is a position Imagine. Of unstrength.
Yeah, by the way, John, I've got a messy desk right over here. It's extraordinarily messy. If anybody comes into my place, I'm like, oh, let me clean up the messy desk because this is embarrassing. Instead of inviting someone in to see it, you know, usually you clean your house before guests come by. You don't go, yeah, let's just leave it. It'll be nice.
Come on. Well, man. Anyway, yeah. So again, normally I would end the segment by saying something like, we'll see if he'll get in trouble for the lie. Nah, he's not going to. He'll be just fine. And with that, why don't we turn to something even worse? Whenever we're ready, let's jump into this video.
According to reports, immediately after the cancellation was announced, Navient sent multiple emails to borrowers encouraging them to refinance their federal loans under Navient's private lender, Navi Refi, with the promise of lower interest rates. Now, Ms. Gittleman, your organization has a long history of protecting consumers from student debt scams. So I want to ask you, let's say a borrower decides to take Navient up on their offer and refinances their federal loans with a Navi refi tomorrow. What would this mean for cancellation under President Biden's plan?
Thank you, Senator Warren, for the question. If they refinance with Navi refi, then they will essentially be replacing their federal student loans with a private student loan because only federal student loans are eligible for cancellation.
So I am so thankful that Elizabeth Warren is focusing on this and making this a big story because this should legitimately be one of the biggest domestic political stories. If it's not clear from that, one of the biggest holders of student loan debt is going to attempt to con holders into in the immediate period before they finally get this relief, making a move under the guise of lower interest rates that will make it impossible for them to get rid of their debt, costing them $10,000 to $20,000. It is an utter scam. It is entirely designed. It is a last-ditch emergency effort to make sure that people are shackled to this debt for much of the rest of their life, honestly. And I think, considering how big the student debt cancellation was, how much people love it, the fact that these companies are trying to scam people into basically opting out without knowing, non-consensually opting out of cancellation, everybody in the country needs to know about this. It is so underhanded, so disgusting. And we need people like Elizabeth Warren, as well as Ayanna Pressley, by the way, who have they've sent a letter to the CEO pressing them on this. But we need people to be talking about this to make sure that something is done to stop them, or at least that people are aware of it so that they don't unknowingly burden themselves with this 10 to 20K more in debt. Jared, what do you think?
This is one of those things, man. I feel like Jessica Burbank talking about how we're connecting this to capitalism and our economy and the way that we do this type of stuff. But look, people pull these types of scam things. Donald Trump was a scam artist financially. Steve Bannon, scam artist financially. Rudy Giuliani scamming people for money. And it's so much easier to do it because of the internet and the ability to get to reach more and more people. But it's all to make money. And so somebody may pop up this company and be like, oh, here's an opportunity for me to make sure folks who maybe are looking for a way to capitalize or at least enjoy this thing that has been finally given to them that they deserve, that maybe we can find a way to make some money off of it. Because the basis for everything in our society here is, how do I exploit someone to make some money off of this? How can I make money off this by doing nothing? And of course, that turns into corruption, that turns into lies, that turns into scams. And What better way to do it than to take people's loans and scam off of that too? Yeah, it should be one of the biggest stories, and I'm glad Elizabeth Warren is talking about it, but I don't know how many people are going to be able to really be reached by this, because I hadn't seen it until we brought it up.
Yeah, I don't know. And like, yeah, if you get, you know, if you get a message from them, it might even seem appealing. We're going to read some of what's on the Navi Refi website. Why refinance with Navi Refi? We offer low interest rates, which can help you save money and pay off your loans faster. That is, at the end of the day, what they're worried about is you saving money. In addition, the homepage also uses the federal loan forgiveness as a hook to try to push borrowers to, quote, refinance in 3 minutes. Yeah, it's definitely the sort of thing that, as a financial company, you'd want to rush people through. If it was a serious thing that wasn't just a con, a last-minute con, to keep your claws sunk in these people, it's probably a three-minute thing. No, this is designed to seem as appealing and quick and pain-free as possible. And the whole point of it is to cause as much pain as possible. Like, this is a corporation, a massive, massive corporation. But at the end of the day, every individual part of this was thought of and executed by people. Some person thought, this is our strategy. They sent out an email to multiple other executives that said, yes, this is good. Okay, let's draft a website. And so somebody had to put this absolute BS garbage on the website. And think about how many people that answer the phones for Navi Refi are going to be dealing with a couple years, maybe, of phone calls of people absolutely enraged by how they were lied to. These are humans knowingly screwing over other people, causing immeasurable economic harm to them so that their bottom line could be this much bigger, like for like a little bit. I cannot imagine treating other people in that way, but that's what they're doing right now.
And the same type of folks will be the ones that'll say, you know what, this America is built off of hard work. You want to make it to the top? You work hard, you be honest, you grit and you grind, and one day you'll make it. And where's the grit and the grind? Where's the hard work? Where's the ingenuity? Where's the smarts? Yep. It ain't here.
That's disgusting. Disgusting. Okay, but that's, and by the way, like, I don't know exactly what Joe Biden could do, but if you actually care about this debt cancellation that you did, do some sort of executive order that if somebody finds themselves having been caught in this, let's say within 6 months of the cancellation, they can reverse it. How about that? You could think about that. You would be having their backs. I think people would appreciate that. Okay, so we are going to go to our second break. We come back. You know, there's a lot on the right that are like always super happy to engage in the culture wars. Suddenly, Marjorie Greene, not a fan of it, doesn't want to engage in it. And it's the reason is hilarious. So don't go anywhere. Okay, with that said, we have a little bit of time, two awesome stories to talk about, so why don't we jump into it, starting with this?
Because they believe the way to drive people to the polls is by scaring them. They're lying to women all over America saying that they can't have an abortion anymore, which that's a lie. There's plenty of places that women can easily get an abortion. They're lying to gay Americans saying that Republicans are trying to take away gay marriage when that's not something. I haven't even seen a bill that says anything like that.
No, seriously, that is the voice you thought you heard. That is Marjorie Greene, culture warrior. She is such a culture warrior that she doesn't confine herself to just LGBTQ issues or abortion. She's fighting over Jewish space lasers and stuff like that. And suddenly, we don't want any part of this. We're not trying to take away abortion rights. We're not going to stop gay marriage. What do they have to do with this? Since when? Since when has a Republican been in support of that? I have no idea. I can't even imagine. Oh, that's interesting. You're suddenly so coy, Marjorie Greene. Why is that? Now, we'll get into why that is, but it's also ridiculous. It's full-on ridiculous if you don't know why, and you know if you follow politics why. Well, let's see. She's talking there about Lindsey Graham's Senate bill that would get rid of abortion rights. Okay. And she doesn't like that, and she doesn't want you to think that that's representative of the Republican Party. Well, it's weird because on the House side, Representative Chris Smith, Republican, has a companion bill that's drawn more than 80 co-sponsors. That's not how many Republicans would vote for it. That's how many were like, no, put my name on it. I want my name on that bill. That's 80 right now. Okay. And bear in mind, Lindsey Graham putting this forward and Chris Smith doing their little House version, That isn't just like, we need to do this. We're going to do this. Let's do it. They know it's not going to pass, and they still are desperate to vote on it. That's how bad they want this. They will vote on it, despite how unpopular it is, even though it can't pass. By the way, on that bill, on Monday, more than 400 former and current GOP officials signed onto a letter supporting that bill. So it is all over the place. Their current establishment, the prior establishment, they love it. And it's not just on abortion. By the way, recently there was a bill to protect marriage equality in Texas. Only one Texas Republican actually voted to protect it. The rest, again, in 2022, were like, no, we want to go back to gay marriage being illegal. That's what we want. They're screaming it from the rooftops in the House, in Texas. Oh, West Virginia legislature just passed an abortion ban with very few exceptions, specifically having to do with rape and incest, only if you submit yourself to the police. Okay, so Marjorie Greene, you might want to talk to Republicans in West Virginia because they think you're ridiculous. The Ohio Supreme Court denied an attempt to stop their abortion ban, so Republicans in the judiciary at the state level are trying to ban it. You've got the Supreme Court, by the way, blocking a further attempt to block Texas's six-week abortion ban. So in the legislatures, many of their voters, and in the judiciary, they are desperate to strip these rights away. Marjorie Greene wants to delude you into thinking that they're not interested in this. They've only been working, JR, for more than half a century to strip away these rights. Why would you focus on it now in the run-up to a midterm election?
It's so weird. But you know what? It's a bit of a crazy position that they have found themselves in. Is this for real? Like, because we do know many of them were turning away and trying to figure a way to scrub their websites, at least modify the things that they said. A candidate, I believe, up in Minnesota, he even put out an ad where he's rocking his brand new grandbaby, and he's telling some, I'm not trying to tell people what to do with their bodies. I just said it a month ago, but now I'm not. Because they're reading the political winds and they're understanding where the problem is for them, which I guess they thought this was going to be a winning issue. When the Supreme Court was taking this up and that draft document, that draft memo came out and everyone was losing their minds over it, and they said, perfect. I was like, I thought that was going to be the one moment, which they even said, that one moment where they said, I can't believe they leaked this memo, and now people are going to be afraid to support it. Look at where we are in September, where they're openly now going back on what even after their states' rights stances are to be a national abortion ban led by Lindsey dumbass Graham. Who now that's the winning issue? That's the right way to go about it? And lastly, Marjorie Taylor Greene talking about the gay marriage. And I can't believe they're saying we're coming after gay marriage. So if you're not coming after gay marriage, that means you're in support of it. Which one is it? Mm-hmm. Are you coming after gay marriage because you're a good Christian? I keep hearing how great Christian you are. Wouldn't Jesus be absolutely disappointed in you, Marge, if you actually support gay marriage in the United States of America? You know, United States of America, which is heaven, is what I last heard. It's basically Jesus' home ground. And we should do everything that Jesus tells us to do.
100%. Yeah, not real Jesus, of course, but the fake construct of Jesus that they've exactly come up with. Of course. By the way, this is Marjorie Greene. This is Marjorie Greene who has sent many transphobic tweets. Remember when she was putting up the transphobic signs across the hallway from a congressperson who I believe has a trans family member? Oh, yeah, no. She's not a culture warrior when it comes to LGBTQ. Oh, she's called for an end to Pride Month, by the way. She's done that. That's fun. No, it's absolutely ridiculous. I understand why they're annoyed at Lindsey Graham. You're like, no, we got Roe v. Wade, dude, and we're going to eventually vote to ban it nationally, but we have to win first, and you're making it hard to do that. Now, some are a little bit clear about how politically partisan this is. Roger Stone called what Lindsey Graham did willful sabotage. This federal election is about our safety, security, health, food supply, economy, free speech, and the corruption of our justice system. Unless rhinos and Democrats try to make it about federal abortion policy, which the U.S. Supreme Court made unnecessary. Lindsey Graham is purposefully helping the Democrats to ensure that we do not take back the U.S. Senate. They don't like him. Here's an interesting thing, though. Roger Stone was joined in some ways by Mitch McConnell, who told reporters that most Senate Republicans believe abortion access should be kept at the state level. And that is what Mitch McConnell just said. He said it very clearly. And so you can take that to the bank and you can throw it in the bank's garbage, where you could throw, like Mitch McConnell previously having said, well, we're not going to vote on a Supreme Court candidate like months before an election. We're not going to do that. Oh, wait, now we're in charge. We're totally going to do that. We're going to do that. We're going to put him on the Supreme Court. It's going to be awesome. Abortion, that's a state's issue. Oh, wait, do we have a majority now? We're totally banning it. We're banning it right now. Like, you can take that to the bank, okay? These people are massive hypocritical liars. They're worried about public opinion. They're worried about how, like, insanely unpopular they and their opinions are. But if they ever get the power, then they're definitely going to do this stuff.
Imagine the world we'd have if Democrats actually ignored any of the pushback and actually did all the things that people asked them to do with no regard, the way Republicans do when no one wants them to do it. Yeah. Just imagine.
Okay, we got to jump into one more quick story. It's an important one. So let's talk about this. There's new data from a combination of the UN's International Organization for Migration, as well as the International Labor Organization and the Walk Free Foundation. And it is as serious and dark as anything we've talked about for some time. The number of people currently in a state of slavery around the globe has grown by 10 million in just the last 5 years. That's just the growth. That's not the total number. And in just a little bit of time, as of last year, they estimate 50 million people in some form of slavery. And they say that it exists in nearly every country in the world. There is no region, they say, of the world that is immune to modern slavery. Now, they give a little bit more information about some of the forms that this come in. So many of the people characterized as modern slaves in dire conditions considered forced labor, where they're employed but unable to quit because their employer withholds their earnings. They owe debt to their employer, or for migrants, their employer threatens deportation. So this is effectively slavery, but with like the wrapping paper of capitalism. We're going to pretend that you're not working for no pay. There's technically pay, but you can't have it. It's mine. I got it. Or I make up this debt and then you'll spend the rest of your life paying it off. You'll never actually get ahead. You'll never actually be free. You're not technically a slave, but you are 100% in a state of slavery. And if you're working terrified at all times that you could be thrown out of the country, that's effectively forced work too. And we've got 28 million people in forced labor conditions. An eighth of them, by the way, as of 2021, are children. So this is child economic slavery. Most obviously taking place in the private sector, some by government. So that's fun. You also have 22 million people living in forced marriages as of just last year. That number has jumped by 6.6 million in just the last half decade. And so there has been improvement in a number of different areas, you know, pandemic aside, in a lot of different societies. But it isn't just that this stuff still exists, it's that it's growing very rapidly, JR, and that is incredibly depressing.
It's growing because things continue to get worse and worse for the most regular, vulnerable people. And slavery, enslaved folks, in multiple ways, we call it modern slavery now, is based off of the vulnerable, most vulnerable people. That's why there's child labor laws. That's why there was issues against folks who maybe are stuck in these particular situations. So, which again, is another offshoot of our propensity to think capitalism is the best thing we could ever do. Make as much money by using people and not pay them as much as possible so you can get as much of it back. And then eventually folks go, I can make more if I go after vulnerable people or if I enslave someone. So they do that as well.
Exactly. Yeah, and we have an obligation here in the US or wherever you're watching to do something about this, not only because it's the moral thing to do, not only because it's consistent with our values, but because our existence, the economic system that we are accustomed to, is what produces this. They say this is not a thing of just like poor, lawless countries. Rich countries both have this sort of slavery, and their desire for products produces the industry in other countries. People are forced to work for no pay to produce goods for Western society. And so whether we know it or not, so I apologize, it might be inconvenient that we're forcing this knowledge on you, our existence produces this sort of injustice, this sort of cruelty. And so we have an obligation to do whatever we can to help end it. But that said, we do unfortunately have to end the first hour of the show on a depressing note. But the aftermath will be coming up after this break, and it will be a little bit lighter. We've got animal news. We've got a crazy story about the king. It's going to be a lot of fun. Jared Jackson will be here, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Cat67Cat has been here for 12 months, says, thank you for making the news fun. We try. We try for our own sanity and for yours.
Oh. Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.